Okay, well, good morning, church. How are you? I don't know which pulpit to use, the left or the right. All right, we'll just use both. Hope you're doing well this morning. It's great to be with you. I've been here a couple times before, preached here a couple times before. So some of you know me, some of you may be new and you may not know me. My name is Wes Rankin. I'm the director of missions. Close. You had missions in there, so that's good. It has all kinds of different titles. Really, it's probably the title that it should be is Mission Strategist for the Northwest Indiana Baptist Association. So that's really kind of our title, or our role anyhow, being more of a mission strategist for our churches and for our region. And so I've been here almost 3 years. Wow. And yes, I'm from Tennessee, so I'm still not used to the weather, and I never will be. And I've talked to people who've lived here all their life, and I ask you, are you used to it yet? And they say no. And so I don't know if you ever get used to it. But we are thrilled to be here, and a lot of good things that are happening in our association, a lot of struggles, a lot of issues, a lot of challenges that we have. I always tell people we are the second largest population area in Indiana, and we're the least evangelized. And if you put, so as far as Southern Baptist work, if you put all our churches together, you may have like 2,300 members. If you put all our churches together, and that's in a population of 1 million people. And so we're not even scratching the surface of what needs to take place. And that's, and then if you even include all the other Bible-believing evangelical works in our region, we're still barely scratching the surface of the need here for revitalized churches and for new churches. And so that's kind of my role. And so, so the challenges are great, so I appreciate your prayers. Just a little bit about myself before I move on, for those of you who may not remember or those of you who may be new. We pastored in Tennessee in a city called Kingsport, Upper East Tennessee, for 11 years before that. Served as a missionary with our International Mission Board in Brazil for a number of years, and in the city of São Paulo. I'm married and have two daughters, both of them recent graduates from college, one serving in, one is living in Tampa, married, living in Tampa, serves at a large church there in the missions department, missions area, and then our other daughter lives in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and she is a teacher. So anyhow, we're stretched out everywhere across the country, it looks like. If you would this morning, open your Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1. It's a privilege to be with you today. I love this church. Love your pastor. Just a faithful proclaimer of God's word, a faithful shepherd to his people. I hope he's getting some rest and some relaxation being away. This morning I want to talk about something that I kind of seen as a problem within some of our churches, not only our churches, but really SBC churches across the nation, but I think particularly for Northwest Indiana and our churches. And basically, I've seen two kinds of members of our churches. And this could go beyond our churches to generalization to two types of Christians. And there are those that are on mission with God, and there are those who are working for God. Now, at first hearing, you might say, you know, what's the difference between these two? Doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of difference between those two types of Christians, but there is a huge difference. See, to be on mission with God means that we enter into what God is already doing. But to work for God means that you enter into what you think needs to be done. To be on mission with God relies on His initiative. To work for God relies on our initiative. To be on mission with God is about bringing glory to His name and establishing His kingdom and reign in this world. But to work for God is centering on our glory and establishing our ministries in our kingdoms. To be on mission with God is to enter into His grand scheme of redemptive history by making disciples of all nations. But to work for God is just to maintain the ministry. And the reality is, many of our churches are just maintaining the ministry. So the question this morning that we need to ask ourselves is this: are we truly on mission with God, or are we simply just doing a job in the church? Are we just working? There's certainly, obviously, nothing wrong with working in the church or doing a job in the church. We are supposed to serve God through the local church. But do you do what you do out of a sense of being on mission with God, out of a sense that this is what you've been called to do? Or do you do what you do just because it's a job to be done? Or out of a sense of guilt? Or out of legalistic obligation or religious function? Every believer, listen, every believer without exception, every believer is being called by God to be on mission with Him in what He is already doing in this world. Every believer. Paul said, for believers to walk worthy of their calling. It's not just a few in the church who have been called to be on mission with God. Not just a few, it's everyone. As soon as you're born again, soon as you're regenerated by the Spirit, at that moment, you're on mission with God. You're called to be on mission with God at that moment, without exception. So this morning, we're going to look at a passage that speaks to Jesus' mission. And certainly, we would know that we believe that Jesus was on mission. He was on mission with God. He didn't just come to fill a position, but to fulfill His mission. He didn't just come to fulfill His own will, but the Father's will. Jesus came to enter into what the Father was doing. Listen to what He says in John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. And for whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." Jesus was on mission with God, and that's what we see throughout the Gospels. But in this text, we're going to see that early in His mission, in the early days of His ministry, there are some early challenges that would come up against His mission that the Father had given Him. There's going to be three simple things that we're going to look at this morning about His mission that I want you to understand, by extension, applies to us too, about our mission. So beginning in verse 35 of chapter 1, let's read through verse 39. "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, He departed and went out to a desolate place. And there He prayed. And Simon and those who were with Him searched for Him. And they found Him and said to Him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And He said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns, and that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.' And He went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." Let's pray. Father, we love You this morning. Thank You for just the opportunity to worship You through song, to focus on You this morning. Lord, we just thank You for the gathering of Your people. We pray now that You would continue to bless us with Your presence, that Your Holy Spirit would fill this place. We pray that You would bless the reading of Your word, and now as I begin to proclaim Your word, that, Lord, that You would use me this morning, Father, to speak Your truth into the hearts of Your people. And Lord, just draw us closer to you this morning, Father. For those that may be here this morning whose relationship with you is either distant or maybe non-existent at all, that Lord, this morning that you would begin to draw them to yourself. Lord, we love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So three just kind of really simple points this morning. If you're writing down notes, and I'm sorry I didn't come with a PowerPoint this morning, but the first thing I would want you to recognize is this. Mission is empowered by relationship. Mission is empowered by relationship. Again, in verse 35, it says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." It had been, just a little context here, it had been a very busy Sabbath day of ministry. And on early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, while everybody's still asleep in their house, Jesus quietly leaves the house, finds his way to the street, and soon he is making his way to a remote spot, a desolate place, to do what? To pour out his soul in prayer to the Father. It is almost as if Jesus is troubled, that his ministry is only a few days old, but he senses that it's already under threat, that his celebrity is in conflict to his calling, and so he is drawn away by the Father to pour out his soul in prayer. And if you study the book of Mark, you see that only in three times it records that Jesus goes out to pray. Now, we know in the other Gospels it records many other times that he goes out to pray. But in Mark's Gospel, in all three occurrences, it is in a dark and solitary place. That is, all three occurrences occur in the context of opposition to Jesus' ministry. So, amidst all the whirlwind of activity, Jesus seeks a place alone to be with the Father. And so I think that this is there's some important truths to take from this that apply to us. And the first one is this: mission is empowered and fueled by relationship. You see, the real danger, here it is, and this is what happens in a lot of Baptist churches. The real danger of doing ministry is to do ministry without focusing on our relationship with Christ. Jesus cannot extend himself outward in mission. He cannot give himself outward to compassion, in compassion to others, without first focusing on the source of his mission and ministry, and that was his relationship with the Father. See, Jesus did great things in ministry only, though, because he had great closeness with the Father. His significance was not only because of what he did in ministry, but also who he was with the Father. That was his significance. His ministry and mission sprang forth from his relationship with God the Father. And listen, this is the huge danger, that we get all busy with ministry without maintaining and growing in our relationship with the Lord. And for some people, not even having a relationship with the Lord. Jesus wasn't involved in just social action and religious good works. No. What he did sprang forth from who he was with the Father. In John 8:29, again it says this, "And he who sent me is with me." Now what does that mean? He who sent me on mission is with me. Relationship. "He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." Why did he always do the things that were pleasing to the Father? Well, because, is it because he read it on a to-do list? I mean, here's the to-do list. If you want to make God happy, here are the 10 things you got to do. That sounds like a Baptist. It's not what he did. He always did those things that were pleasing with the Father because he was with the Father. He was in relationship with the Father. You see? He took time to get alone with the Father. So there's a danger of ministry without relationship. But listen, there's another danger that can be seen by implication through the ministry of Jesus, and that is, on the other hand, a danger of relationship without ministry, or seemingly a relationship without ministry. That is, Jesus didn't just go up into the mountains and hide out with God all the time. Now, Jesus was very active in ministry. He's on mission with God. He's busy healing the sick and casting out demons and preaching the good news. That is, he wasn't so spiritual that he wasn't doing practical ministry. He was. So that's the other extreme. You see, there are folks who say they are all about a relationship with God, but they don't do anything. We got some of these in our churches too. They're kind of like the ancient monks who hung out in their monasteries contemplating God but excluded themselves from the world and from serving the world. The problem is our modern day monks are not as spiritual as the ancient ones. You know, and many of our contemporary Baptist monks, their monasteries are their homes and their houses, which this morning they're still at, by the way. They're still there. They don't get out of bed to come in fellowship with God and His people. And if you were to ask them about their relationship with God, they would say, "Oh, it's great. It's great." They would say, "I have a great relationship with God." They'd say something like, "You know, you don't have to go to church to be a good Christian." And there are some, though, that, yeah, they may not be home in their bed. They may be here even this morning. And they say they have a great relationship with God, but they don't do anything. They don't serve Him. They're not on mission. You see, these folks say they are spiritual and that they have a relationship with God, but and that they love Jesus, but they don't do anything. They have no ministry. They're not on mission. These are the ones that James talked about in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, when he says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says that he has faith?" In other words, this person says, "I have a relationship. I have a relationship. But he has no works." In other words, he says, "I have faith, I have a relationship, but he doesn't have works." In other words, he has no ministry, he has no mission, he's not on mission. He says, "Can that faith save him?" He says, if a brother and sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, in other words, claiming you have a relationship, if it does not have works, is dead. In other words, relationship without ministry is no relationship at all. That's what he's saying. No matter what we claim to the contrary. With Jesus, it was his relationship with the Father that drove his ministry. He wasn't just agenda-driven. He wasn't just moved by social concern. No, his mission, his ministry, his compassion originated in heaven. In his relationship with the Father, Jesus had this beautiful balance between relationship and ministry. And listen, this is the point. This is where you find the light in the Christian life. When your relationship with Jesus is driving your ministry, this is where you have a church that is joyful and revitalized. Let me say that again. When your relationship with Jesus is driving your ministry, this is where you have a church that is joyful and revitalized. When you have members whose relationship with Jesus is so sweet that it moves them to joyful service. So if you're serving in the church, if you're serving in the ministry of the church, but you don't depart and find a desolate place to spend time with the Father, deepening your relationship with Jesus, then your ministry, listen, your ministry is going to dry up and not be effective. Think about it. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, just a day into his ministry, felt a need to get along with the Father, to measure on his relationship with the Father, how much more should we feel that need? So that's the first thing I want you to see, is mission. Mission, listen, is empowered by relationship. The second thing we see from this, real quickly, is mission is endangered by resistance. Mission is endangered by resistance. Look at verse 36 and 37 again. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Now, Jesus had a mission. He had a purpose from God the Father. He was sent here to carry that out. And not even a little over a day from the beginning of his ministry, his mission is already endangered by resistance. And that resistance came from two sources. It came from within his circles of influence, his circles of connection, and it came from without. And that's where resistance will come from. First of all, there was resistance from within. Again, Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Now, at first glance, it looks like Peter and the disciples were just curious about where Jesus was and just wanted to hang out with him. That's what it seems like. But what is happening here is not just an innocent intrusion by Peter and the other disciples into Jesus' quiet time with the Father. It's more than that. That word search from the Greek, it has the meaning of pursued or hunted down. So Peter and the disciples hunted Jesus down, not just to try to control his mission, but to interfere with his mission. Peter was essentially saying this: "Hey, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. You need to come back to the crowds at Capernaum and do your thing. You need to heal. You need to cast out demons. You need to do all this. You need to come back to the crowds, Jesus." You see, the resistance to Jesus' mission was coming from within, from his own followers. In fact, we see Peter later in chapter 8 of Mark, verses 31 through 33, trying to prevent Jesus from fulfilling his mission. It says, "And he began to teach them," that is Jesus, "that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan. For you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men.'" In other words, Peter was interfering with the mission of Jesus, was trying to. So the point is, here's the point. When you get serious, when I get serious, when we get serious about being on mission with God, the first line of attack is going to come from within. It's going to come from those in the church. It's going to come from those who claim to walk with Christ, or those who are close to you, or those who are part of your family, etc. It's going to come from those that are close, those from within. And we see this throughout all church history, by the way. The greatest opposition to Jesus' mission while he was on this earth came from the world of religion, right? Even his own family and disciples. The greatest opposition to the newborn church in the book of Acts comes from the synagogue and the world of Jewish religion. The greatest opposition to the mission of Martin Luther and the Reformation came from that time, the church at that time, the Catholic Church. The greatest opposition to John Wesley and the England side of the First Great Awakening came from the Anglican Church. The greatest opposition to Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield, who were the catalyst for the American side of the First Great Awakening, came from the group called the Old Lights, led by Charles Chauncey, who was the pastor of First Boston Church. In more recent history, the greatest opposition to the worldwide evangelistic ministry of Billy Graham didn't come from the outside world. It came furiously from the world of religion, especially the world of fundamentalism, extreme fundamentalism. The point is, when you get serious about being on mission with God, having a single-minded focus of following Jesus and walking in His ways and serving Him, don't be surprised that your greatest opposition is going to come from those that are closest to you, even within the church itself. But second, not only the resistance from within, but the resistance from without. It goes on to say in verse 37, you know, it says, Simon and those who were with him searched for him, verse 37, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. Now what is happening here are the crowds are demanding that Jesus come and continue his healing and demon deliverance ministry. Peter is saying, crowds love you. Jesus, you're the most popular thing that's happening right now. They want more of you, so come. But Jesus' central mission at this moment is to preach the good news. And that's now in jeopardy because the crowds are clamoring not for the good news. The crowds weren't clamoring for the good news, but for more demonstration of his healing and deliverance power. And if Jesus had listened to the crowds, if he had listened to the world, if he had listened to the crowds, he would not have fulfilled his Father's mission. Because the crowds weren't interested in his mission. They were just interested in what he could do for them and what they could get out of him. And all through the ministry of Jesus, you see the crowds on one hand flocking to come and hear him, and on the other hand, misunderstanding and opposing his primary mission. And you know, Jesus had compassion for the crowds. The Bible says that. And he always knew only a few within the crowds would end up following him. He knew that many would be called, but few would be chosen. He knew that the way of destruction was broad and many that would go that way, but that the way to heaven was narrow and few to be that find it. So there is opposition to Jesus' ministry, not only from within, but from without. From the mass of humanity, from the crowds, from the world. And listen, our mission is endangered from resistance from without, from this world, from our culture. Now, don't let anybody ever say to you that being a Christian in any culture has ever been easy. There's not been a time in human history where being a Christian and truly following Christ has been easy. There's no culture, I don't care if you go back 50 years in America, there's no culture that just automatically, naturally loves Jesus. Okay? But the reality is, it is more difficult today in our time, in our history, in our culture, to be a serious believer on mission with God than it's been before. Okay? We might not like that, but that's the way. The culture is not on our side anymore. We no longer live in a society with a Christian worldview. We may want to have that. We may long for it. We may wish we could go back to the good old days when supposedly it was here, but that's no longer the case, and it just doesn't exist. So we got to learn to live as a minority, a marginalized minority in a world, in a culture that no longer accepts our values. Welcome to the way Christianity has been for most of the world, for most of history. But we got to learn to live in that culture, and we got to understand that when we live truly as followers of Christ in this kind of culture, we're going to receive opposition to our mission. And so there's opposition, there's resistance. Lastly, mission is engaged by resolve. It's engaged by resolve. Look at verse 38 and 39, we'll be finished. And he said to them, "Let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. So when Peter told Jesus that there were huge crowds gathered to see him, Jesus said that they should immediately leave. Though he was riding the wave of popular support, Jesus left all that behind. Why? He was much more interested in the quality of the people's response than he was the quantity of the people that heard him. Jesus was resolved to do two things that we must also be resolved to do. First, he's resolved to stay on message. Verse 38, he said to them, "Let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." Jesus did a lot of things, but he stayed on message. Now, Mark tells us earlier in the chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, what the message was. Listen, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming what? The gospel of God. And saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel." So Jesus' message was the gospel. Jesus was the gospel. Jesus fulfilled through his death and resurrection the gospel. And this is why he came, and this was his message, and he was not going to allow anything to distract him from this message, from his central purpose, and that was preaching the good news. And listen, we can do a lot of good things. We can do a lot of good things, but if we're not staying on message, if we're not making the gospel and the proclamation of the gospel the central purpose of whatever ministry that we're involved in, then in the final analysis, we're not doing kingdom business. We got to resolve to stay on message. But the second thing that he says here that we must be resolved to do, that he was, that is to be resolved to stay with the mission. Again, verse 39, he went throughout all Galilee preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus leaves and goes throughout all Galilee, and notice what he's doing. He's preaching in their synagogues. The focus of his ministry was to the Jewish synagogues. He was first and foremost a teacher of Israel. The Bible says that. Jesus would later say, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." His mission, okay, we saw his message, but his mission was first to the people of Israel. So he was resolved to stay with the mission. He went to those whom the Father commissioned him first to reach. He went to the synagogue to preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How easy it is for us to get not only off message, but to get away from the mission. You see, what is the mission? Well, it's very clear, right? For example, Matthew 28. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." You see, the message is the gospel. The mission is to make disciples of all nations. See the difference? The message is the gospel. The mission is to make disciples of all nations. The message is salvation through the finished work of Jesus on the cross. The mission is to take that message to all nations and make disciples. Sometimes as Baptists, we're really good at the message. We say, "Oh yeah, we're about the gospel. We want to share the gospel. We want to tell people about Jesus." But we're not very good about the mission sometimes. We're not very good about making disciples, right? Sometimes. The church that is not resolved to stay on message by proclaiming the gospel and to stay on mission by making disciples is a church that's spinning its wheels, wasting his time, headed to death. We got to be those who stay on message, resolve to stay on message. The gospel, not only for salvation, but for our own sanctification. As Baptists, we're good at sharing the gospel for salvation, but we don't come back to the gospel for sanctification. The gospel doesn't end when you get saved, by the way. You need the gospel until you go home to be with Jesus, you know? Stay on message, but to stay on mission. Make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. So, as we close this morning, and as we go into a time of response, just to have you reflect upon some things. Mission is empowered by relationship. How's your relationship? Are you just kind of doing something in the church just to be doing something? But you find no joy in it. You find no life in it. You're just going through the drudgery. Probably the reason for that is your relationship is suffering. Because to be on mission is an exciting thing. But that mission is driven by your relationship. For some of you, maybe this morning, is that your relationship, maybe it doesn't exist. Maybe that relationship is non-existent with the Father through Jesus Christ. And maybe this morning, it is that you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. But maybe for some of you, it is, yes, that you've established that relationship. You've been regenerated, you've been born again, but that relationship is distant. But maybe the problem you're finding is that you're allowing other factors, people who are close to you, or maybe the world, to keep you from being on mission. Maybe the culture is dragging you in a certain way, away from that relationship with the Lord, away from the mission that God has given you, because you've kind of allowed the culture to infiltrate your life. Or maybe someone who is very close to you is keeping you from walking with Jesus and being on mission the way you need to be. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're not engaged in the mission. You're not engaged and resolved to be on message. What is the message? The gospel. If you're resolved to be on message, you know what you're doing. You're sharing the gospel. You're having gospel conversations with those at work or those that are close to you in your neighborhood or whatever. You're having gospel conversations. Maybe you're just not resolved like you should be on message. Or maybe you're not resolved as you should be on mission. That is, you're not pouring your life into making disciples. Your mission is to be on mission with the Great Commission. And maybe you're not resolved. And maybe this morning, as we have a time of response, you just need to get along with God, maybe just right where you're at. Maybe you just want to come to the front and kneel and just say, Lord, you've spoken to me this morning. This is what I need to do. I need to repent. And I need to make a fresh surrender, a fresh commitment to be on mission with Him. Will you close your eyes?